This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:37 in the morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar together with Wang Xiaoning and Philip C. For now, though, let's turn our attention to Malacca because campaigning for the Malacca state election begins today after yesterday's nomination day, and it will go on for 11 days before the polls are held on November 20th.
Now, just to recap, the state elections were triggered by four UMNO and Bersatu assemblymen who tried to bring down their own government amid an internal tussle. However, the attempts to form a new state government with the opposition was thwarted by UMNO's incumbent chief minister, Dato' Sri Sulaiman Ali, who petitioned the Malacca government to dissolve the state assembly, paving the way for fresh polls. Now, 112 candidates will apparently battle it out over the 28-seat election, but which coalition will come out on top?
So for more on this, we have with us on the line Ibrahim Sufyan, Program Director at the Merdeka Center. Ben, good morning. Always good to have you. Can we start with maybe a bit of a picture of the voter profile in Malacca? I mean, is there a snapshot that you can give us? How diverse is it? Are different constituencies going to be different in terms of who the voters will be?
Well, Malacca is an interesting state because in terms of demographics, it mirrors the West Malaysia, North Peninsula Malaysia demographics fairly well. 61% of the voters are Malay, about 30% are Chinese, and the remainder is made up of ethnic Indians and other smaller groups. In terms of voting patterns, it's interesting as well because, the state of Malacca has for the longest time been under Barisan Nasional before 2018. But in 2018, with the three-way contest underway at that point in time, and now we're seeing another three-way contest, we can see that the Malay votes are split into three parts. In 2018, about just under 30% voted for Pakatan Harapan. UMNO, we estimate around 54%, and the rest was for PAS. So now that there's a fracturing in the ruling coalition, in the sense that Perikatan and Barisan Nasional has parted ways, and we see that these two groups will certainly contest for the Malay electorate, which amounts to about 61% of the overall voters there, but given that perhaps some 20% are already spoken for and likely to vote for Pakatan Harapan, we see these two giant coalitions are vying for the votes of just about one half of the Malacca electorate. So this one half of the electorate probably will decide the outcome. That's one point. The other part is it's also an interesting experiment to see how people react in the wake of the COVID pandemic, whether people are courageous enough to go out and vote, and whether they have confidence in the SOPs put in place by the authorities to curb this election from becoming a super spreader event.
And since you mentioned SOPs, because the EC came out with them last night and they're rather restrictive, I'm just curious, do you think they benefit one party more than another? And will this determine a low voter turnout then?
Well, I think in all likelihood, this is going to benefit the parties that have a smaller grassroots, but a stronger central command of sorts. Because if you look at the SOP, there's definitely no longer going to be any big cerama events. There's also a curbs on house-to-house campaigning. So there's not going to be a great deal of physical campaigning. Most of the campaigning will be restricted to social media platforms and the mainstream media channels that are available to people. So in one way, it will benefit parties that have access to the established media. So this could be parties who are closer to the ruling establishment and parties with a stronger social media platform. So in some ways, it will probably benefit parties like Barisan Nasional, Perikatan to some extent. But I won't put it past Pakatan Harapan to benefit as well, because with Pakatan Harapan, I would say the parties that are campaigning in the urban areas probably will have a stronger showing, in part because they probably already have a stronger social media presence. But those parties that are going to campaign in the semi-rural parts of the state, they will find it a bit more challenging in order to get their message out. I think finally, there's also a challenge on persuasion, because in the past, house-to-house campaigns, I think, play a strong role in introducing candidates. And we have a large number of new candidates are being fielded this time. So I think there's going to be some difficulty in getting voters to know them better.
Right. So where are the key battles?
Well, the key battles are several. You know, there are some seats that are pretty much spoken for. But if you look at how things turn out during the 2018 election, there definitely will be some marginal seats. I think for PH, you know, their marginal seats are going to be seats which they won narrowly in 2018. So these are likely going to be seats like Gadeg, Klebang, Durian Tunggal, to some extent, Teluk Mas, Bemban. And then for Barisan Nasional, the seats they won in the last election, which will be, I think, open to challenge, particularly from Perikatan, will be seats like Serkam, Merlimau, even Asahan, which now is being challenged by Idris Harun after he switched camps.
And Ben, who do you think are the key personalities contesting in the election that we should be keeping an eye out for? Who are you going to be watching?
Well, I think I want to look at the recently deposed Chief Minister Adli Zahari, in part because when we look at how people have responded to him, he seems to have been able to generate very positive vibes from both the Malay as well as the non-Malay segments of the community. He seems to have, I think, a great deal of political capital that he can play in this election. At the same time, we see the contestants coming from Barisan Nasional, you know, whether or not the former Chief Minister Sulaiman can make an impact. We find that slightly less people know him that well, partly because, you know, he's only been Chief Minister for a short amount of time. And then on the side of Bersatu, it will be whether or not some of their personalities, particularly Mas Ermiati, can make an impact, particularly because, you know, she's an MP, sitting MP there. At the same time, she's now contesting in the state seats. And we find that several of the state seats under her own constituency all represent seats where there's possibility of change. So these are the three personalities that we're looking at, plus Idris Harun, who crossed over the aisle and contesting in Asahan, which we think is going to be a fairly contested seat.
And Ben, I want to shift our attention to Pakatan Harapan and their chances in Melaka. I mean, things seem to be pretty shaky at the moment between DAP and the rest of the coalition, especially over the choice of certain candidates. Will we see more fractures moving forward, and will this be to their disadvantage?
Yeah, certainly. I think the initial stages of the campaign have been marked by some dissatisfaction over the decision by Pakatan Harapan, particularly PKR, to accept several of the defectors from Bersatu as well as UMNO. But I think, you know, they have to smooth over these differences and present a united front to the voters. I think Pakatan Harapan, you know, of course, they won in 2018 with a narrow margin of a couple of seats, if I'm not wrong. They stand having the potential as well. But I think this time it's more challenging, not just because of any internal dissension, but more so in terms of voter turnout. We find that voters are, number one, very upset about having this election called early, in part because, you know, people are only getting used to the easing of the COVID sanctions. And then voters are also concerned about that, and that situation may generate a lower turnout, which I think will be to the detriment of Pakatan Harapan, which, by some accounts, by other analysts, not me, who feel that Pakatan Harapan will be in trouble if they can't get voter turnout to exceed 80%.
Right. And so, Ben, when voters go to the polls, are they thinking federal issues, state issues, or local issues? Because many assume this is a bellwether for the bigger picture, national picture. But, you know, in your view, when people go to vote, are they thinking federal, state, or local?
Well, a lot of times it's local. A lot of politics are local. And the reason is because in terms of, you know, how voters are segmented, many of them are already decided, in the sense that they have long-standing loyalties to certain political parties. So they will naturally vote for that. So I think the outcome is going to be determined by perhaps 1/3 or 25% of the voters. And these voters will be swayed by how the leadership in the state attends to the issues that they are confronted with. So having said that, the issues that are in the state is a combination of national and local, but localized national issues, which is specifically about the economy, about recovery from the pandemic, and the plans that the state government and the federal government has in store for them towards recovery, partly because, you know, Malacca is so dependent on the tourism industry. as a mainstay of its income and the livelihood of its people. So people want to see how the state and the government will lay out its plans to recover and how businesses that have been affected by the pandemic can be assisted in the coming year. So I think people are very concerned about that.
Okay.
And so any candidate that goes out there with, I think, a strong narrative on this will be given a chance.
Ben, very quickly though, sorry to interrupt you, but to put you on a spot, who do you think is going to win the Malacca state elections?
I think at this point in time, you know, given the uncertainty regarding the turnout, I wouldn't say there's any clear winner right now. Both Barisan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan have strong chances, partly because they have strong representation and strong support in a certain number of seats. But given there's only 28 seats and that there's, you know, at least about seven, eight seats that are very marginal, it could go either way. You know, it could also be ending up in a situation where no particular coalition wins a majority at this point in time.
Ben, thank you as always for your insights. That was Ibrahim Sufyan, Program Director at the Merdeka Center, not willing to put any bets yet, not placing any bets yet on who's going to win the Malacca state elections.
Because it's a turnout game. So whoever can mobilize their base out to come and vote, I think has the strongest chance.
And with campaigning being kind of restricted as it is, it's an open question to see who will be able to draw out their supporters to the polls.
Interesting stuff. We'll be following this story very closely as it kind of evolves.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.